Good evening, everyone. My name is Julie Martin, and I want to welcome you on behalf of the Cape Fear Economic Development Council. Our organization's mission is to fulfill the need for leadership in sustainable economic development in the region. Tonight, we're going to hear from the candidates for the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners. We've invited them here to discuss one of the key issues of this campaign, economic development. So in 2012, what do we consider economic development? Well, frankly, the goal of economic development is to stimulate investment in an uncertain economy. It's going to require innovative public policy, and it's going to require innovative business practices. In order to create jobs, we have to think smarter about our economic development practices and principles. In New Hanover County, we've got a 9.3% unemployment rate. That's an improvement over last year, which was 10.3%. But it still means that nearly 10,000 people in New Hanover County are out there looking for jobs today. What do companies want? The ones that are thinking about coming here, the ones that are searching for a place to put down roots, the ones that are here and are considering growing their businesses here. According to a recent series in the Star News on economic development, the bottom line, mixed with a good quality of life. So they want to be able to make money, but they also want a great place to live. So tonight's topic, economic development, we look forward to a spirited discussion. And our question to the commissioner candidates is, what role will you play in our local economic recovery? I want to remind everyone that we are streaming the audio for tonight's event. The audio will also be available on WHQR's website. And video and audio will be on CapeFearEDC.org also. So now I'll turn things over to our moderator, Rachel Lewis Hilburn, who is the news director here at WHQR. Rachel?
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome to this candidates forum. Tonight we're joined by all six candidates for New Hanover County Commission. They are vying for three open seats on the commission. We're also joined by two journalists who will be asking questions of our candidates during the first portion of the forum. During the second portion, we will allow members of the audience to ask questions. We will also have some explicit rules for that portion of the forum. So if you're thinking about a question at this point, just keep in mind a few guidelines, which we will repeat when we get to that point. The question must be in the form of a question. You will have a 30-second time limit. You must address the question to all of the candidates present. No statements will be allowed. And as I said, we'll repeat those instructions when we get to that portion, along with some additional clarifications. But for now, let's meet our six candidates. Beginning in alphabetical order at the far end, we have Jonathan Barfield Jr. Hello, Jonathan.
Good evening.
He is broker and owner of Barfield & Associates Realty. He was elected to the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners in 2008. He served as vice chair in 2010, chairman in 2011, and is once again vice chair of the commission. Mr. Barfield serves on three State Association of County Commissioners committees. These include Intergovernmental Relations, Tax and Finance, and Justice and Public Safety. Mr. Barfield says he represents all 200,000-plus citizens in the county regardless of political party, race, or socioeconomic status, and he says there's still a great deal of work to be done on economic development and job creation. Increased pay for teachers, and improving the flow of traffic in the county by working more closely with the NCDOT. Beth Dawson. Hello, Beth.
Hi, Rachel.
She retired from banking after a 21-year career. She's currently a North Carolina real estate broker. A native North Carolinian, Ms. Dawson attended Salem Academy NC State University, and Cape Fear Community College. She's a member of the Cape Fear Museum of History and Science Advisory Board and the Southeastern North Carolina Regional Economic Development Commission. She served two terms on the New Hanover Regional Medical Center Board of Trustees and Foundation Board of Directors. Ms. Dawson says, "The citizens deserve a board of commissioners made up of individuals with proven public service records, genuine commitments, and the time to serve." She says all citizens should be represented, and she believes there's a need for diversity among county leadership. Derek Hickey, MD. Hello, Dr. Hickey.
Good evening.
Dr. Hickey is an orthopedic surgeon and owner of Port City Orthopedics. He graduated from Yale University and the University of California San Francisco School of Medicine. He's currently a member of the New Hanover County Board of Education. Dr. Hickey says New Hanover County's assets, such as the natural environment, UNCW, CFCC, an excellent public school system, and a motivated and talented population will be the basis of an economic rebound. Dr. Hickey says he will work to strengthen ties between the Board of Ed and the Board of Commissioners, and he says lowering taxes and eliminating unreasonable regulatory burdens will create an economy that will put people back to work. Robert C. Murray III. Hello, Mr. Murray.
Good evening.
Mr. Murray graduated from Hoggard High School in 1970. He retired from the U.S. Army and local industry, and he's been a volunteer firefighter for 21 years. Mr. Murray was born and raised in New Hanover County, and he says he's running for county commissioner to give something back. He says he'd like to reduce taxes and spending. Woody White. Hello, Mr. White. He is self-employed as an attorney at White and Hearn here in Wilmington. He earned a BA in history from Southern College in Tennessee. His law degree is from the University of Nebraska. Mr. White is a former North Carolina State Senator, appointed to fill an unexpired term in 2004. He's also served on the boards of New Hanover Regional Medical Center, Habitat for Humanity, and Coastal Horizons. He says he wants to be part of the solution to challenges and will work hard to bring people together to confront them. He also says he'd like to change the tone of the discourse in local government, and it's imperative to seek innovative ways of collaborating with other towns and cities. Rob Zappel. Hello, Mr. Zappel.
Hello.
Rob Zappel is a licensed general contractor and owner of a small business, Rob Zappel Design and Build. He graduated from the University of Virginia. Mr. Zappel is the former president of the Board of Trustees of Thalian Hall Center for the Performing Arts. He currently serves on two local boards, WHQR's Friends of Public Radio and the Cape Fear Green Building Alliance. Mr. Zappel and his wife have three children, all of whom attended New Hanover County Public Schools and graduated from North Carolina universities. As a small businessman, he says he's pushing for cooperation among elected officials. He says he leads by consensus building and that he believes in the effective and efficient use of the taxpayers' dollar. He also says he supports clean industries and smart commercial development. Now let's meet the journalists who will be asking the questions. Tricia Vance, to my immediate right, is the editorial page editor of the Star News. Welcome, Tricia. And Vicki Janowski, next to her, is editor of the Greater Wilmington Business Journal. Hello, Vicki.
Hello.
Scott Ogden, would you raise your... There you are. He is a board member of the Cape Fear Economic Development Council, and he is also our master timekeeper. There you go. The format will go like this. Tricia and Vicki will begin with their prepared questions. Each candidate has 2 minutes to respond to each question. We will rotate the order in which the candidates answer questions. And candidates, if at any point you would like to have a question repeated, please let us know that. Scott, the timekeeper, will signal when 15 seconds remains. And can we see a sample of that signal, Scott? Great. Okay. And can all the candidates see that?
Yes.
When time is up, he will ring the bell as he demonstrated. Let's begin. Tricia, would you please deliver your first question to Jonathan Barfield?
Okay. We're here to talk about economic development, but obviously economic development depends on a lot of things that the commissioners do in delivering services. One of those services is disposal of trash. The county commissioner's recent vote to reject the contract with Covanta to overhaul the waste-to-energy incinerator was the latest in a series of proposals over about two decades to reach that point only to be voted down. What should we do about the county's garbage, and what is your plan? What do you propose?
I was very surprised, number one, that the vote went the way that it did. I voted in the affirmative to indeed enter into a contract with Covanta. Solid waste has been a problem for our community for quite a while. My dad served on the board of county commissioners when Waste Tech was initially built back in the mid-80s, understanding that you can't build any new landfills east of I-95 with the new regulations that the General Assembly passed. The contract that our staff worked out with Covanta to me was perfect. It addressed the concerns that we had, and out of nowhere, the concern for flow control came. And my question then was, we entered into a contract with R3, which was a startup company, and flow control should have been brought up then, but it was not. And to have that at the last minute, I just could not understand. I understand now that our staff is actually looking at ways to address some of Commissioner Catlin's concerns about flow control, but there are really no guarantees for anything, but we have to solve this problem. In my opinion, we must enter into a contract with Covanta, get Waste Tech or our CEF rebuilt and refurbished, and start burning the majority of our trash. Right now, 100% of our trash is going into our landfill, which is indeed decreasing the life of our landfill, which to me is totally unacceptable. Hopefully, we'll revisit this either with this current board or with a new board that's sworn in after December. Hopefully, my goal will be to make it with this current board. It would take quite a bit, in my opinion, to get a new board up to speed on the intricacies of the contract that we had with Covanta.
Thank you. Vicki, would you address your question to, Beth Dawson, please answer the question and let us know if you'd like to repeat it. I'm with you.
Please repeat it. That was long, Jonathan.
Tricia, would you please repeat the question for Beth?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the county commissioner's recent vote to reject the contract with Covanta was the most recent in a lot of different contracts. Basically, what should we do about the county's garbage situation, and what would your plan be? What would you propose to put on the table?
Well, I never thought that I would ever have learned so much about trash as I've sat through the work sessions and meetings over the last several months. But we do have a critical issue here with only 6 years left of life with our current landfill. As the county commissioners, either the current board, if they get that back on the agenda, or the new board, considers the economically feasible options for extending the life of our landfill, I think in the meantime we should be sending that solid waste to commercial available landfills at a lower cost to our citizens. Until such time we determine we can economically, and it's feasible and effective at that time to, I think, rebuild instead of refurbish. It's a 30-year-old facility. Then I believe that we should look for alternative ways to extend our landfill. And I think we need to get to work on permitting the additional acreage that the county owns for landfill space.
Thank you. Derek Hickey?
Sure. This waste disposal topic has been in the news for several years, as Ms. Vance points out. There's several things we can agree on. We can agree that to improve economic development, what people want is a nice place to live, and they want costs to be low. They want low taxes, low costs. Second thing we can agree on is that it was a bit strange that flow control became an issue at the 11th hour. You would have thought that the commissioners working on this for months to years would have at least addressed that problem before they went down this path. I myself am against burning things in our environment. As a physician, you know, I'm concerned about our environment. One of the things that didn't come up in these discussions was that this waste-to-energy treatment plant would have produced as much, if not more, sulfur dioxide mercury, and fine particles in our environment. These are all the reasons that people have been attacking the Titan cement plant, and for obvious reasons. But I'm a little surprised that the environmental concerns of burning our trash when there are other viable options available were never brought up. As an example, the current tip fee is $59. I believe a transfer station, there was a proposal by Waste Industries to form a transfer station that would dispose of our waste at $40 a ton. This would have maintained our landfill's capacity, because that is very important. As Mr. Barfield did explain, it's unlikely we will be able to permit a new landfill east of 95, so it is crucial that we keep landfill space. But again, I think it's more economically feasible to go with a transfer station, and it's more environmentally friendly, and it's better for the health and well-being of our citizens. So that would be my proposal, a transfer station that's already been proposed by a company that works in the free economy, employing people and competing to keep costs low.
Thank you. Robert Murray.
Yes, ma'am. The disposal of trash has always been a problem, and that's one thing that we've always looked at. Going back with the Cordova, there's probably some things there that a lot of us don't know, but yes, we do need to do something to expand the life for our landfill, where we have more time, and we should pursue going ahead and getting the permit that required to expand that landfill now, and let's not wait till the 11th hour. I think we should move forward, try to either, as Beth said, rebuild completely or refurbish, either one, but need to have more options than just one on the table.
Thank you. Woody White?
Folks, we have dual duties to our present citizenry, ourselves, our 206,000 friends and family that live here, and also to future generations. When we talk about sustainable development, it connotes under its auspice also sustainability of preserving our environment while we live and consume things in this community. The Covanta contract was confusing to me. Flow control has always been an issue. And our county attorney sat there during this meeting, last week. I'm not sure why flow control wasn't talked about before now. Our paper 19 years ago went through a series on the lawsuit that Waste Industries filed against us with flow control. The county had to lower tip fees in 1993 from $60 to $25. It cost $7,400 a day of taxpayer money. They went to federal court. They fought it out. So the waste haulers held us hostage. Landfills sprang up all across eastern North Carolina, and the hauler said, you know what, we're not paying your high tip fees to sustain your incinerator. They used the free market to hold us hostage. So here we are 20 years later at the 11th hour dealing with a contract when all of a sudden flow control comes up. Betty Fennell, who used to be a reporter for the Star News, wrote article after article after article about this over and over and over. Some of you might remember that. I sure do. So I was puzzled last week when I sat in that meeting and saw this. So it's not a new issue. Flow control has always been there. How do we contract and make sure that we have enough solid waste to go into the incinerator? Now, I don't know if I would vote for it or not, but I tell you one thing, I would be up to speed on it. I wouldn't be surprised by the issues at the 11th hour, and I would ask the right questions of our county staff and our leaders, and I'd be prepared to vote when I showed up to the meeting. That's the type of leader I would be.
Thank you. Rob Zappel.
The Covanta proposal, to me, is about taking responsibility as a county and as a community for our solid waste issues. It was completely distressing to me to watch the county commission vote that happened on this last Monday. They have left us with no solid waste policy, no strategy on how to deal with this essential service that is also a public health issue as well. Taking responsibility and also changing the way we look at trash, which is what Covanta and the proposal was asking us to do. Instead of looking at trash as something that we bundle up in plastic and put it down into the ground and have it around for literally hundreds, if not thousands of years, to begin to look at it as an energy stream, which is what it is. The Covanta proposal would actually take our trash and put it into the Covanta incinerator, and at the other end, we get 34,000 megawatts per year of electricity. That's enough to light up and to bring electricity to 3,000 local homes, as well as to operate the entire facility. It also, for the first time, would give us the framework of a recycling program that we could use for the county. The people that I've spoke to around the county want a comprehensive recycling program. And through there, we could create revenue streams through the electricity generation and the recycling, as well as extend the lifetime or the lifespan, the 6 years left on our landfill. We could extend that by double it right away by taking hold of this proposal. But again, the most troubling part is, as elected officials, they have left us without a policy. There's no strategy. Think what that looks like to a CEO or to businesses that are looking to our area when we can't even take control of this most basic essential service. Essentially, they have left us rudderless in a sea of garbage.
Time. Thank you. Vicki Janowski of the Greater Wilmington Business Journal, please direct your first question to Beth Dawson.
Julie actually posed what my first question is going to be, so I'll let you guys have a chance to actually answer it and ask you, in your opinion, what approach should the county be taking toward economic development? And what role would you play if you were elected as county commissioner in that effort?
Well, quite frankly, I think that New Hanover County should be a leader in the region and across the state. We are a leader, and we need to have a board of commissioners who are pro-business, who will look for solutions and have the willingness to work collaboratively across the region. One thing I have learned while serving on the North Carolina Southeast Commission is that it's imperative that neighboring counties work together to recruit and retain business, as well as encourage entrepreneurs to start business. I think that we need to look at ways that we can work together. All of these different economic development councils that are in town should be working together to form a strategy, a long-term strategy, in order to promote our region. We have tremendous assets, and of course we've talked about our quality of life resources. We need to recruit business that is going to be compatible with our coastal environment. I feel that it's important that we also offer a quality education system. That's one thing that businesses will look at, and we need to make sure that we have wonderful options for education. We already have our Cape Fear Community College, our university here, the assets that the community college can offer with job training programs and retraining programs are important assets to businesses as they look to relocate. So I would support working with our Board of Education and our Cape Fear Community College to make sure that they are successful.
Thank you. And I'd like to remind the candidates, if you would like the question repeated at any point, please let us know that. Derek Hickey.
Sure. Please repeat the question.
Hickey?
Sure. What approach should the county be taking toward economic development, and what role would you play as a commissioner in those efforts?
Sure. Well, you know, in New Hanover County, we're blessed. We're blessed with a beautiful environment. We're blessed with a first-rate university in UNCW, Cape Fear Community College, as well as an excellent public school system. We need to leverage these resources. One of the things we need to do is we need to ask businesses, as was postulated earlier, what do businesses want? Well, businesses want low taxes, to decrease the regulatory environment to get unnecessarily regulations out of the way. As an example, in today's Wilmington Business Journal, there was an article on GE Hitachi. Now, GE Hitachi just received NRC approval to perform laser enrichment. However, when Wilmington Business Journal spoke with GE Hitachi, they said, well, we have to look about whether this is going to be cost effective to do it in this area. Well, what we need to do is we need to go to all of our businesses. We're blessed. We have industry in GE, industry in Corning. We need to ask these businesses that are here right now, what can local government do to help you expand? Also, you know, I'm not so naive to think that government has all the answers to business. We need to go to these businesses and say, what do you think other businesses would like to come here? What we need to do is we need to form a committee comprised of commissioners and regional business leaders and ask these very simple questions. If you're not expanding, why aren't you expanding? What would it take government to do to help you expand? In addition, you know, it's government's responsibility to provide suitable infrastructure. We all know the 421 corridor is plagued because it does not have proper water and sewer and infrastructure. So as a commissioner, what we can do is we can discuss with business, ask them what they need, provide reliable infrastructure, low taxes, and decrease unnecessary regulations.
Thank you. Robert Murray.
There's probably a multitude of things that we can do as county commissioners to improve the economic area. One of the things is we have basically just gone through a revamp of telling us that we are a tourist destination. We try to draw the tourist people in here. Well, why don't we have something for them to do? They go to the beach, they get in the rip currents, and they can't swim. So all they do is end up staying in a hotel. Why don't we get Mr. Gilmore to come up here and put some theaters in? Why don't we try to drag him into that? Let's get us a big water park. Let's make us a barefoot landing up here. You know, let's try to get something like that to expand our tourist draw, if you will. That's one thing that we can do. The other thing is, as Mr. Hickey stated, we can go out and talk to our corporate people here. What can we do to help you make it better? We can talk to our local businessmen. What can we do? How can we help you? But there again, why not play to our strengths? Let's play to, you know, we call ourselves a tourist destination, so why not let's play to our strength? Let's get something up here. How many people would go to a Gilmore theater down here that's even local instead of driving to Myrtle Beach? Keep our money at home. That's one thing we can do, one thing I would pursue. Thank you.
Thank you. Woody White.
Rachel, I think you're going to hear a lot of agreement on this issue from this panel. A couple of things I'll point out. First, I think the doctor wrote the right prescription when he talks about was he talking to you? Hey, I thought he was doing charades.
We'll
I was trying to guess what he was doing.
Other. We'll give you a few more seconds for that.
Yeah. See, everybody agrees on this. But Derek's got it right for the first part about talking to business, asking them, you know, what are we doing to get in your way? How can county government make your life easier? How can it make your life more fairly able to compete with people? I had a guy call me just yesterday and said, I had a pier damaged in a storm recently, and I'm getting it, or a dock, not a pier, a dock, I'm getting it redone. The county inspector came out here and said, I have to put a fire hydrant on this thing. It's on a dock with a boat that's fiberglass. That you don't even treat a fiberglass boat if it catches on fire with water, I don't think, Rob. You would probably know that. But, you know, that's just an anecdote of the idea that government needs to be there, as Derek and Beth said, to facilitate business and economic development. Secondly, I'll say the current board gets a lot of things right. They don't always get it wrong. One of the things they got right was last spring at Jonathan Barfield's encouragement over the last couple of years, a strategic plan. The county had never had one. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Jonathan. You're going to talk about that. But the county now has a strategic plan. I think some things need to be looked at on it, but by and large, it sets out our plan of what we need to do as it relates to economic development and other things over the next 5 years. We need to constantly look at that and think about it as it affects our future.
Thank you. Rob Zappel.
Thank you, Rachel. One of the most important jobs of the county commissioners is fostering the economic growth of New Hanover County. I think they can do that in very three specific ways. By first, cooperation. Cooperation with our local governments and with the different agencies and start talking together, and to stop this political divide that has kind of seized us and stopped so much forward motion in our county and, frankly, in our nation as well. So cooperation. Also, clear, meaningful policies so that a person who wants to do business in New Hanover County can pick up the zoning regulations and read and understand clearly what's going on. Take the guesswork out of it. Also, communicating the needs and the problems of New Hanover County directly to the citizens and providing the discussion and the platform so that we can begin to resolve or at least address these issues. Those three things, I call them the three C's. That's cooperation, clear, meaningful policies, and communication. We also need to learn to build on our strengths. We have a wonderful diversity of businesses and corporations here in New Hanover County, but that would also include small businesses, institutions, nonprofits as well. They all act as different threads, creating a fabric that in turn sits on top of our solid tourism-based economy, and that's where we get a strong, sustainable economy here in New Hanover County. We also have a diversity of workplace skills, and we should find ways that we can take those individuals that are working throughout our county, from the film industries all the way to the larger industries, GE, Corning, and those who are involved in the arts and cultural community as well. We have a huge diversity of that, and we're not taking full advantage of that. I would support the recruitment of clean industry.
Time.
Thanks very much, Scott.
Thank you. Jonathan Barfield.
You know, the reality is the county has been in the economic development business for quite a while, but it's really not known. DSS, huge budget, spends a lot of money with daycare providers throughout our community, wave transit, taxi cab companies, to say the least. Our hospital, county-owned asset, our health department, our airport. We're actually in that business. As my fellow candidate mentioned, in 2011, when I was chairman of our Board of County Commission, my number one goal was to have a strat plan, understanding that our county had not had a plan done in over 17 years. And my thought is, how can you know where you're going if you have no road document, no visioning plan to get you there? We took some heat for hiring a consultant to come in and help us with that plan, but it was the right thing to do. And with that, we discovered that economic development was one of our eight core values. And in my opinion, once you decide something is core to you, then you assign money to it. Now we've actually taken a new position within our county, taken one person and aligned them as a strategic director to align our strat plan with our budget to make sure that our budget and our strat plan line up with one another. Some things that I would love to do would be to partner with UNCW and with their entrepreneurship program, along with the city of Wilmington, to provide some type of an incubator downtown to put small businesses back to work in our community. It's amazing that a grant of $1,000 to $3,000 would do a world of good for a small business trying to get started within our community. And that desire and that thought process is already there. The city of Wilmington is moving forward with that. My goal is to bring the county into the forefront of that as well. 421, we are actually working with Pender County to bring water and sewer to 421 to try to develop that particular corridor. So I think you're going to see some great things happening within the future within that particular location. And it's kind of neat that serving as a county commissioner, I actually go to quite a few business dinners with companies that are looking at coming to our community. We typically have at the table our community college president, Eric McKeithen, who's no longer here, Wilmington Industrial Development, Scott is there as well.
Time. Thank you.
There's so much to talk about.
Tricia Vance of the Star News, please direct your next question to Derek Hickey.
Okay, well, we'll have a little bit shorter question, perhaps. Do you support the proposed baseball stadium that Wilmington is looking at? And should the county have skin in the game and share in the financing of it?
That's a good question. I would tell you that I would love to see a baseball stadium in Wilmington. Some of my fondest memories as a child was my father taking me to baseball games and buying me too much food that I felt sick afterwards and maybe not watching most of the game. I would love to share that with my little boy. Having said that, I would not support a taxpayer-funded baseball stadium. You know, just because I happen to love baseball and love to share this with my children doesn't mean I should burden the taxpayers with this, you know, with my wish. One of the ways to improve the economy is to lower the tax burden, not increase the tax burden. I've heard lots of people talk about the economic impact of, you know, bringing a baseball stadium downtown, and I agree, it will bring people downtown from other places in Wilmington. What it will do is we'll transfer tax dollars from people who don't live downtown and bring some money, some small amount of money, to the businesses who are downtown. I would firmly and wholeheartedly support a privately financed baseball stadium. Now, I don't pretend to know the economics of baseball, but because there's been so much interest by both Mandalay and by Ripken Baseball, you know, I do firmly believe that if City Council pursued negotiations in a reasonable way, we could have a quality baseball stadium and minor league baseball team in Wilmington that is privately financed and not borne on the backs of the taxpayers.
Thank you. Robert Murray?
I fully support a baseball field. I have enjoyed baseball all my life. I have played baseball all my life. But I don't believe the baseball field should be built on the taxpayers' back. I think it should be privately funded. I think it would be a boon to us with our, there again goes back to what I said, with the tourist industry. When they can't swim, they can go to the baseball game. Yeah. Hey, let's look at it the right way. But I still, you know, I think baseball stadium would help us out with our economics in this area. But I don't believe putting it on the taxpayer back is the proper way to do it.
Thank you. Woody White.
Tricia, your question was, do you support it in its present form? The answer is no. And in any future form that involved taxpayer money, I wouldn't support it either. Sometimes bond referendums and raising taxes to build public facilities is worthwhile. For example, when our hospital was falling down, Walker Memorial, 1958, the voters of this county considered a bond for a new hospital. They turned it down. They rejected it. 3 years later, they considered the same bond again. It passed. Our hospital was built in 1967, and thankfully we have one of the best hospitals in the state now, thanks to the redo. What I'm worried that's going to happen is that the people are going to vote it down this time, and our elected leaders are just going to try it all over again. But baseball stadiums aren't like hospitals. Now, the second part of your question, or I guess this, my second part of answering your question, is that government has to get back to the basics, folks, the basics. And government doesn't exist to build sporting facilities, in my opinion. That's my philosophy. That's the philosophy I'll have as a county commissioner. We have to get the basics right. We can't be everything to everyone. We have to deliver safe and clean water. We have to protect our citizens with firemen and police officers. We have to do the basic social services that we know why government exists, the purposes of government. Would it make money for certain businesses? Would people benefit? Would there be a, quote, multiplier effect? Possibly. Those are all good things. But those aren't the basics. And if you're looking and surveying these candidates and you're asking yourselves, what philosophy do I want my leaders to have, that's going to be my philosophy. Not saying no to everything, but prioritizing, getting back to the basics, and that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Rob Zappel.
The idea of a multi-use facility that could be used for baseball and for a variety of other things that have been suggested has great potential. And I applaud the City Council and Mayor Sappho for being creative and trying to find different ways to move our economy forward. But it needs the cooperation of all the local governments, and that simply did not happen. This idea in itself is good, and I would differ with my fellow candidate here, Woody, in that we need to put everything out there. Every idea needs to be brought out and judged, but it needs to be talked about. There needs to be some cooperation. There needs to be a conversation. And this is one very specific example and very public example of our, in this case, county commissioners and city council not talking at all about something that affects every person's life. So we're to a point now where this issue of the baseball stadium will have a vote on November the 6th, but half the people in the county will have no say in this, even though it will affect them in one way or the other. That's not right. We need to start talking. Our elected officials need to start talking and working together so that we can cooperate so that we don't end up in a situation like this again. The $37 million bond issue that's out there, and I'm speaking now as a City of Wilmington resident because I am, needs more details, and I know that more is coming. But at this point, I have a difficult time supporting it. I don't know where the exact site is going to be. I don't know what the building is going to look like. I don't know if we have guarantees or commitments or if those are the same things for a team or a Mandalay or the Braves to be there for 20 years.
Time. Jonathan Barfield.
The politician will say yes, no. But I do have an answer. I'm the only person sitting on this dais that actually went to see the Durham Bulls Stadium with the city council and looked at what happened in that particular community, to see the economic development that took place in downtown Durham as a result of the baseball stadium being there, to talk with the Goodman family and see the investment that they made within that particular community. I think the number was $900 million of infrastructure went in downtown Durham as a result of the stadium being there. For our community, that would bring roughly $3.5 million in additional property tax to our community, along with sales tax coming in as well. Now, if you're talking about economic development, that is a perfect way to, number one, help lower your tax base while also stimulating job creation within our community. Talked to a good friend of mine named Wendell Bullard. He was a former president of the Board of Realtors in Durham and also the state president. He said, "Jonathan, we fought this thing tooth and nail when they tried to do this in Durham. You would never find anyone in our community now that would say that they did fight it. It's been one of the best economic tools that we've used in our industry, among others, in our community. Long term, I think it's going to help decrease our property tax rate by bringing in more dollars into our community. Again, sales tax. We passed a quarter cent sales tax 2 years ago. That's bringing in roughly $7 million additional dollars into the county budget, which is just over 3.5 cents, just over 3 pennies, just over 2 pennies on our tax rate. That's pretty significant for the average property tax owner within our community, understanding that sales tax is paid by everyone, whether you're a visitor here, a renter, or a property owner. And every dollar that we spend in county government is taxpayer money. I hear people talk about taxpayer money all the time. It's all taxpayer money. Whether it's a sales tax, whether it's a property tax, we don't get money from our sales. We use taxpayer money to do what we do in county government. And this is part of economic development. Looking at our county being a Tier 3 county, when companies are looking at coming to our community, they get less tax credits from the state for job creation because we're a Tier 3 county, a prosperous county. And companies are looking for assets or things for their employees to do when they come to a community. You can go to Columbus County and get a great job there, but what do you do when you get off work?
Time. Thank you. Beth Dawson.
It continues to be good news when organizations and businesses want to invest in New Hanover County. And as much as I would like to see the potential economic development that would come from a ball field or another organization's endeavor, I do not think that now is the time for the county to participate in incentives or tax breaks to bring a major or minor or whatever it is, ball field, to New Hanover County. I would much rather see commerce downtown. I would much rather see private sector businesses investing in our county, bringing good jobs, good paying jobs, and businesses that are compatible with our coastal environment. So at this point, as much as I would promote the consideration of potential public investment for some things, the ball field has too many unknowns at this point. I'm much more concerned about adequately funding our law enforcement, our fire and emergency rescue services, and making sure that our infrastructure, our water, our sewer, our trash needs are taken care of to serve the needs of all of the citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Vicki Janowski of the Greater Wilmington Business Journal, please ask your next question and direct it to Robert Murray.
So, branded film
film tax incentives are a state issue, but next year it's highly likely the General Assembly will be looking at tax reform, and the current state film tax incentive package goes only to 2014 at this point. So I'm curious, if you're elected and you're meeting with our local legislative delegation, what will you be telling them is your stance about this particular tax incentive?
Granting the film industry, the tax incentive helps them come in here and utilize our area for filming, creates jobs, creates a lot of people out there that are at work. Matter of fact, I probably know about 24 people that work as extras constantly, and they go out there and do it properly. I would try to influence their way of thinking to continue that tax incentive, to be able to give that tax incentive to them, to for them to come in here and film and be able to keep that industry in here. We need it. We need to work, you know, work in here, and we need the people going. We need the people being put to work and being utilized.
Thank you. Woody White?
Vicki, although different jobs earn different wages, all jobs have, there's dignity in all work. They all have the, you know, basic core assumption and value proposition that they're employing, they're providing for their families, they're supporting their community. Incentives pit industry against industry. Incentives unfairly pick one job over another job that is no less worthy of government assistance or help. And so as a philosophy, incentives put government in the position of cannibalizing its workforce, and I don't believe in that. The film incentives is nothing more than a product of clever lawyers and lobbyists that have gone to states over the last 20 years and gotten bills passed. That's what it is. And if we say anything different, we're not being truthful with ourselves. Now, I love that we have the film industry here. It's fun for my kids to watch some of the scenes when we take them there and see the extras and the movie stars here. I get it. But to me, a job is a job. And as a county government, we need to make sure that we try to not pick winners and losers, that we let the free market do these things. Now, I understand that might be a naive, utopic view of how it's done, because Louisiana and Mississippi and South Carolina and Tennessee and Canada and on and on and on. But each year, the incentives get a little richer, a little richer. A little smarter lobbyist in another state gets a better tweaked bill. And they come back to North Carolina and they say, well, wait, Louisiana did this. You need to do it too. And that's how we've gotten here. So when I meet with the legislative delegation next year, if they ask me that, that's the opinion that I'll share with them, and they're free to do whatever they want.
Thank you. Rob Zappel?
The film and television industry discovered New Hanover County in the early 80s, and it went on a rocket ship ride of film production to a point in the mid-90s. There was a two-year period where they did over $600 million worth of film and television production work right here in New Hanover County. Things changed. Film industry was lured away. Things have changed again. And film industry is coming back in a strong way in the last 2 years, in part because we have a fantastic crew base. Those are the men and women who make the films, who live right here, the hundreds of families that stay right here in New Hanover County, and also because of the film incentives offered by the North Carolina State Legislature. So this year, we've already done $150 million worth of film and television production work right here in New Hanover County. We're on track to do over $200 million. So that means when you get a production like Iron Man 3 that comes in here and puts over $80 million into our local economy, when they finish, not only do we get a great film that I can go and enjoy with my grandson and we can look and has a wonderful glow to our tourism industry and all, but when they pack up their trailers and they move away after leaving their $80 million plus dollars here, there are no smokestacks. That's clean industry. That's smart commercial development.
Thank you. Jonathan Barfield.
So how many people here watched Revolution the other night? I know that I did. You know, my dad was on the Board of County Commissioners here back in the 80s when the first film was filmed here, Firestarter, with Drew Barrymore. And I've seen nothing but significant growth take place within our community since then. I know that our governor went to California a couple of years ago and met with the folks in California to see what incentives they were offering and tried to entice or encourage our General Assembly here to increase our film incentives, which we did, but I don't think they're nearly enough, recognizing how many jobs are produced right here within our own community. I used to own a disc jockey business called Starlight Entertainment, for those that remember that company. And I did a lot of work within the film industry, providing music for their rap parties when they finished filming. A lot of folks have benefited financially in this particular community alone, Southport, you know, in Brunson County, Pender County, from the film industry being right here. And when things went south, a lot of folks were hurting. A lot of folks lost their homes because that job source was indeed depleted. So we need to find every way that we can to encourage those folks that represent us in Raleigh to at least maintain the film incentives that we have, if not indeed increase those. Again, looking at Iron Man coming to our community and the economic impact that it's had on our community. Again, we're here talking about economic development, and that's what it's all about. It's about jobs. You know, I see so many people, college educated, that have degrees that can't find a job in our community. We've got to find ways to put people in our community back to work, come together and make those things happen. And this is just one great industry that can indeed do that for New Orleans County and for this particular region. So I would encourage them.
Thank you. Beth Dawson.
Well, I could hardly get out of my driveway tonight because there's a film filming in the block right across the street. So I have we've been supportive of the film industry for many years. I actually have had a film filmed at our home. Until such time, the General Assembly, and hopefully next session, will tackle potential reform to corporate tax code. We need to be able to be competitive in the global market. I mean, we talk about global market. We are in a global market, but talking specifically about film incentives as we are, I believe an incentive to any business, whether it's the film industry or not, we need to evaluate the return on investment. That's the bottom line. The film industry here, nearing $200 million in spending just this year, that's a good return on investment, folks, and we employ thousands of people. I am not necessarily going to say every business or every industry should benefit through potential public investment, but I say, as your leader, we need to look at what's in the best interest of job development and the best interest of all the citizens. I will carefully evaluate the risk and return on investment of any potential public investment. One thing we do need to realize is that business incentives in North Carolina and in the Southeast, we're very competitive. We don't need to put our head in the sand and think they don't exist and that we don't need to deal with them. They are important to bringing good jobs. Look at the benefit that they were for bringing Verizon Wireless here and 1,200 good-paying jobs. So there are some cases when it is in the best interest of New Hanover County.
Thank you. Derek Hickey.
I would agree with two of my commissioner candidates with differing views. I know it sounds a little schizophrenic, but let me start out by agreeing with Mr. White. You know, in general, I'm opposed to incentives. I'm opposed to government picking winners and picking losers in the free market. I believe that we should incentivize all businesses by providing an economic environment, again, that has low tax rates, low regulatory burdens, and an effective and responsive government that is accountable. Living in New Hanover County, we're fortunate that we have a beautiful place to live, and we're fortunate that the film industry has chosen New Hanover County. We've all spoken about how it does provide, you know, good, well-paying jobs that are sustainable and don't pollute. It also adds to the sense of place. It also adds to our tourism industry. Just the other day, I was working out in the gym, and I walked down the stairs, and I ran into an actress, and I thought she was someone I knew, a friend, and I just about said hello until I realized who it was. That's what makes Wilmington what it is. But at the same time, I agree with Ms. Dawson. You know, the film industry is very important to New Hanover County. And currently in New Hanover County, we're fortunate because the entire state subsidizes our economic development.
What we do need to have is a study on return on investment. Like every other investment that government makes, if the return on investment is greater than what we put into it, then it's a sound investment. To this date, I know of no such study on return on investment. But like every government expenditure, it should be based on standard rules of accounting. What we put in, we should get more out, and that's a sound investment. So I agree with both of my fellow candidates.
Thank you. It's time now to switch gears to the second portion of the forum, in which audience members may ask the questions. We've also solicited questions in advance via email, and we have some of those here. And as we explained at the top of tonight's forum, there are explicit rules that accompany this segment, and it's these rules that allow us to have this as a live event with questions that were not pre-screening. So please respect the rules. The question must be in the form of a question. We will not allow any statements. You will have a 30-second time limit to complete your question. The question must be directed to all of the candidates. If you do have a question, please line up behind Julie Martin, who is the master keeper of the audience microphone. She will hold the mic. She will not let you have it. Scott, our timekeeper, will time you so that this is fair. 30 seconds once again. Please state your name and then ask the question. And please remember, I know that this doesn't need to be said, but I'm sorry, I'm going to say it anyway. The name of the game is respect. And just remember that the most powerful tool you have is your vote, and you can exercise your selections at the polls. Please hold any applause or any jeering until after the forum and be kind. That said, thank you very much for participating in this forum and in the democratic process. Does anyone have a question?
My name is Maggie Parrish, and my question is, how would you connect the terms global warming or climate change and economic development? What do you see as the link between the changes that are coming to this county in terms of climate and our economic development? And how can government be part of that change?
Thank you. And we will begin with Woody White.
I'm going to defer that question to Rob Zappel. Well, ma'am, that's a tough question to answer. I will say, just as a general understanding that I have as a candidate for public office, that we have rules and regulations at the federal level and at the state level. County does not employ air quality control engineers or anything like that, but the county does regulate smokestacks, where they go, how many of them there are. As it relates to global warming, I regret and I'm humbled by the fact that I'm not qualified to really render an opinion about that. I'm aware of the two sides of the debate. I try to be up on issues. I'm not sure what a county government can do about global warming, but a county leader sure can try to protect its citizens. And I know in the special use process that the next board might be asked to consider as it relates to air quality control and certain industries come in here. The first question they're going to have to answer to the satisfaction of that new board is, does your company present any unreasonable risk of harm to its citizens? And there's going to be evidence taken to that, medical evidence, scientific evidence. It might not relate directly to global warming, but it sure will relate directly to the 206,000 people that call this county home. And so I'm not sure if I've answered your question, but I will say that I try to be up on the issues, and county government, even though it's almost as low as you can go in public office, right, Rob? They still serve a function. They're the front line of defense for the citizens, and I hope I've answered your question to some satisfaction.
Thank you, Rob Zappel.
Maggie, I'm going to try and come at this in a slightly different way, but hang with me on this, okay? Water quality, our drinking water, is the issue that's going to dominate as we move forward.
It's going to dominate development. It's going to dominate public health. And so connecting that to global warming, the rising of the seas, where we live, which is on a coastal community here, even a rise of an inch, 2 inches, 6 inches, or a foot is going to directly affect the salinity in many of our coastal wells. Switching gears slightly to the development end of it. As you know, I'm a builder. And the issues of rising water and the ocean coming closer to coastal lots is a very serious one for the development community along the beaches up and down our entire county. How much the oceans will rise, I don't know, and I think there's a serious debate about it. I think that the evidence of global warming is overwhelming. I know that we have to begin the discussion now. We have to plan for it, everything from insurance rates to the safety of those people who build and whether or not they should or shouldn't build for their own safety and the safety of their neighbors and other people who could be affected by damage that could be caused by that. All are discussions that need to happen. So, yes, global warming is something that affects all of our lives and will going forward, both in our drinking water and in our development.
Thank you. Jonathan Barfield.
No, our county is actually dealing with this right now. As you all know, we've had an SO2 problem here. I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. about a year and a half ago and speak to the number two person at the EPA about SO2 and how can we mitigate those issues within our community, understanding that the more pollutants you put into the atmosphere, the more it's really going to destroy the ozone layer, which is going to cause global warming. And we look at the fact that our polar ice caps are melting at an alarming rate within our world. One thing that we looked at is looking at what kind of industry that we bring to our community, less smokestacks, looking at trash, for instance. Should we do a transfer station or burn it in our own facility? If you do a transfer station, you're putting more vehicles on the road, putting more pollutants into the air. So therefore, you're actually fighting against the whole idea of global warming as opposed to burning things within our own CEF. With our sustainable energy facility, we talked about putting additional scrubbers in to indeed decrease the amount of mercury going out as well as SO2 below the standards that a Titan cement would indeed put out if they're indeed built within our community. But really looking at the fact that we passed a special use permit process within our own community to look at what industry is coming to New Orleans County to make sure that it fits, number one, with our scenery here, but also that it doesn't add to the pollution that's already taking place within our community. So those are some of my thoughts on global warming and the economy, and they really go hand in hand. The more industry you try to get to your community, the more cars you put on the road. So the question is, what does it end?
Thank you. Beth Dawson.
This is an interesting question. Thank you for bringing that up. I believe, first of all, it's very important that our county and municipal governing boards, our leaders, work together in strategic planning for our future. The course we chart for the future today will determine the quality of life for tomorrow, whether it has to do with air quality emissions, whether it has to do with water quality, whether it has to do with global warming, and I believe you also said climate change. One thing that we have enjoyed for so many years, those of us who have lived here, is the wonderful environment that we live in, our temperatures. Here it is the 1st of October, and we still have people going to the beach. It's just wonderful. I would never want to do anything to harm our environment, our air, those quality of life issues that contribute so much to our economy and to our tourism, which is our number one economic engine here. I would definitely support the strict adherence to federal and state rules and regulations as they affect those issues and air quality and water quality, and I would also support support the effective and efficient regulatory processes that all businesses need to follow when they want to do business here in New Hanover County. So I'm not sure if that really answers your question, but know that I will work hard to do my homework and ask tough questions if I'm so honored to serve and make informed decisions on behalf of the health, safety, and welfare of all of our citizens.
Thank you. Derek Hickey.
Well, Maggie, I want to ask you to get up again to ask the same question. Because we always had a problem. I will tell you that this is a good question, because I don't think anyone on this panel expected to get this question tonight. So it's at least fun to come up with something sort of off the cuff. I'm not an expert on global warming, and there is a vigorous debate on both sides of the issue and how much it is going to affect things like the rising of the coast. Having said that, as a physician, I understand matters of health. And I understand the problems with SO2 in our air, the problems with fine particulate matter. Myself, I'm an avid runner, triathlete, and I have two children. And the reason we live in New Hanover County is because it's a beautiful place to live. And I do know that burning more stuff and putting it in the air, whether or not you debate the merits of global warming, isn't good. Okay, putting bad things in the air that we're going to breathe isn't good for us. I think everyone, no matter how they feel about global warming, can agree on that point. County government does have a role, and actually the business economy has a role. You know, when you look at one of the things that's going to improve our air quality the most going forward is the transfer of the Sutton plant from coal to natural gas. Now, why is that happening? Well, part of it's regulation, but a larger part is because natural gas is cheaper. Going back to the Wilmington Business Journal, we have GE in our backyard that's going to be able to produce, uranium for our nuclear power plants. That is sustainable energy that doesn't contribute to global warming. I'm going to finish there because I just lost my train of thought. But thanks, Maggie. I had fun.
Thank you. Robert Murray.
I hope I can remember the question. Global warming, climate control, climate change, and stuff like that. I've lived in this county for 60 years, and I've seen a lot of it. Different ways, different things. We have to rely on the federal and state government whenever they come in and a plant or an industry puts in a request, to build. We have to rely that they go in there and they make those people adhere to those rules and regulations that we have. We also have to keep monitoring them. We have to keep an eye on them, because you let them go and they're going to do just what they want to do. Okay? So we have to be able to monitor and keep on them. There are certain things that we're going to have to let come in here if we want to improve our economic development and our economic standard within the county. There again, I agree with Dr. Hickey. I hate putting things in the air. I've got a farm. And I can see change on my farm in some cases. When it rains, I can see spots on my plants that never been there before. So, yeah, we have a problem. But can we stop it all? No, ma'am. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works. All we can do is rely on what we have in base with our federal and our state regulations and be able to monitor those things and be able to play watchdog on them to make sure that they don't exceed those limits or exceed those areas that they have been restricted to.
Thank you very much. Do we have another question from the audience? Please say your name.
Executive Director of the Arts Council of Wilmington and New Hanover County. And my question to County Commission candidates is, what role should the county play in clean, indigenous, non-regulated, arts-driven economic development?
And Rob Zappel, if you would address that question first.
Yes, I will. Thank you for the question, Rhonda. The arts and cultural community in New Hanover County is an incredibly important economic driver. It helps with the stability of our economy and also with the growth of our economy. I've had the opportunity to work in a number of different arts and cultural organizations and institutions, and I can speak from firsthand experience of just how important it is. I think everybody in this room can only needs to take a look at an institution such as Thalian Hall, which is the hub of so many different theater, dance, live music, visual arts, and even, yes, film and television that gets shot there. And from that hub, so many things spring out. how many times have you been with people who have come from out of town and said, came in to see what can they do in our little town of Wilmington or New Hanover County, and have been absolutely shocked at the number of theatrical productions, the number of live concerts, the different venues that are around. For a population this size, it's amazing. And that's what draws people here, not only for tourism, but also for professional reasons as well. I would go as far as to say that it forms a part of the base of our economy here in New Hanover County. So, yes, I would be very supportive of the arts and cultural community here, and I don't think that we could continue to grow without it.
Thank you. Jonathan Barfield.
You know, the county just actually, for the first time in a long while, funded the Dream Center here to the tune of $10,000 to indeed show that we want to invest in the arts community here. And I find that you have the Kukulores Film Festival here. You have the Black Arts Alliance that's here. Thalian Hall that's here. So many galleries within our community. The first thing the county should do is recognize that there is a tremendous economic impact based on those organizations being within our community, and then find ways to partner with them to enhance what they're doing. I think, again, the first step this past year in our budget was partnering with Dreams and allocating some dollars there. It'd be great if we could find a way to indeed fund the organization that Ms. Bellamy has and indeed increase that as well. I went to the gala that the Cameron Art Museum had this past weekend, their 50th anniversary. It was outstanding to see artwork such as Ms. Minnie Evans, someone that actually grew up in the area that I grew up in, and to see her work hanging there, and just recognizing that we have tremendous talent right here in our community. How do we promote that? When you see, again, Ms. Bellamy bring in a young man who actually starred in Revolution, he was here a couple years ago at her film festival. And just to look at the economic impact that those organizations have within our community, we need to find ways to partner with those organizations. I'm great and happy to see that they found the funding from the private sector to indeed open their doors and get started. But at the same time, it's all about job creation and economic development.
Thank you. Beth Dawson.
Hey, Rhonda. I'm so happy to have you at the helm of the Arts Council. I think you'll do a great job and are doing a great job. First of all, when businesses are looking to invest in New Hanover County, they come in and look at many different things, not just the quality of life offerings, but the governing boards of the county and the municipalities. Are they pro-business? Do they offer a pro-business atmosphere that will work with businesses? They also look at, of course, our education system. They also look at, of course, the tourism offerings. And, of course, I quite favor the Cape Fear Museum, having served on that board for several years. But primarily it's the quality of life that brings businesses to New Hanover County that want to invest. And among those things that make up that quality of life are our cultural and our recreational resources. And we have so many to offer here. So I do feel like it is imperative that the county governing board, the county leaders, your municipality leaders, recognize how important organizations such as yours, like our museum, et cetera, our parks, contribute so much to the pieces of the puzzle for successful and strategic economic planning. So I thank you for everything you're doing and all that you bring to our community.
Thank you. Derek Hickey.
Hi. Thanks, Rhonda, for the question. I agree with just about everyone up here, and I'd like to thank Mr. Zappel for his contributions to the arts and cultural community. The arts and cultural community, and everyone agrees on this, has both a direct and an indirect role in economic development. Now, certainly it generates dollars in and of itself, but it also contributes to the sense of place which is Wilmington. I've lived in some of what people would argue the finest cities in the country. I've lived in San Francisco. I've lived in Manhattan. And when I chose a place to live and to bring children into the world and raise my children, I could have lived anywhere. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I could find a job anywhere in the country. One of the reasons we picked Wilmington was because of its cultural base. And so in addition to people coming in for tourism and for the direct impact that arts and culture has on this community, I do believe it's one of the reasons that businesses choose and people choose to locate in Wilmington. And as a commissioner, I would be very supportive of the arts and cultural community in all its endeavors.
Thank you. Robert Murray.
Arts and culture is just it's just one of the multiple of things that draw people to the Wilmington area. On the culture side of it, there was a Mr. James Murray that was one of the first settlers of the Wilmington area. He's one of my ancestors. I got a little bit of culture going on there, I reckon you'd say. But that's one thing that we do, and people come in and they ask me, they come in to visit, they ask me, where did this come from? What kind of town is this, and what's the background? I've even talked to people that have moved in and bought homes, and they have no clue sometimes because of the area they're living in. And I start telling them about the area, and they just can't believe it. So, yes, the Arts and Culture Council is very important to us. And we need to keep that knowledge there, and we need to keep that knowledge out there to where people know what happened in this area. How did this area become to be? You know, did somebody just come in and sink a well and start pumping water and sell it? You know, how do you know? But, I mean, I think it's very important, and what y'all do is very important. So I thank you for that.
Thank you. Woody White.
Rhonda, we didn't have all arts and culture in Bladen County where I grew up, I'll confess. the extent of our arts was spray painting on the gym behind Town Hall. And the culture was kicking the can around the red and white grocery store parking lot where we rode our bikes. I moved there when I was six, and that's where I'm from. And that's a funny way of really commenting on the truth in rural areas where they don't have the benefit of what we have. I had no idea about it, and it wasn't because it was kept from me. It just wasn't part of what I grew up seeing and learning and hearing every day. When I went to college, and Tammy can testify to this, there was not a time that went by that we didn't go to a free concert. I was so enamored with the symphony coming to our college or some speaker or, you know, on and on and on, the speaker series. Our friends would make fun of us. You know, they'd go out and party or do things maybe they shouldn't be doing, misbehaving. And Woody and Tammy wanted to go to these things. And maybe that's because in Elizabethtown, where I grew up, we didn't have that benefit. And so everybody said, I think agreed, but everybody agrees with what's already been said. But arts and culture is what makes up the fabric of our community here. It's one of many things that we have, the diversity that we enjoy in this town with its environment, with its business, industry, tourism, retirement, public education, university, community college, vocational training. We've got it all. And if we neglect one part of it, we're taking something away from the real value of our community. So I appreciate the question and what you do. I echo the other comments of the other panelists up here.
Thank you. We may only have time for one more question here, and I'd like to use one of the questions that was submitted via email. As a 20-something, jobs are hard to come by in this town. Our neighbors in the Triangle are able to attract high-tech, well-paying jobs, and I'm wondering why Wilmington can't get a piece of that pie. If elected, how would you position this community to bring in the amenity-based industries that supply jobs without compromising our quality of life? What are three specific job creators you would bring to this community? And we'll begin with Jonathan Barfield.
For me, it starts with vision. The story that's been told to me is that the Community 100, way back in the old days, when GE was recruited to our community, GE was told, you can come here, but you can't pay wages that you're paying across the country because we have one plant here at the time, which is Babcock and Wilcox. They can't afford to compete with the GE. So GE agreed to those terms. When they got here, then they started giving folks increases in terms of increases in their salary to get them up to the national average. It takes, in my opinion, vision, number one, to get to that particular point. as a 20-something. I have a daughter who's 21. She's a senior at UNC Chapel Hill, and I am concerned about her future in terms of a job when she gets out of college, to the point where she's going to go back and get a master's degree in medical health administration to indeed help her with that. But we've got to find ways to partner again with UNCW, the Entrepreneurship Center, the City of Wilmington with their entrepreneurship plans, and start an incubator downtown, and find ways to attract more startup businesses to our community to indeed help them with small grants, $1,000, $3,000, whatever that number may be, to help them get their businesses started. I find as a realtor there are so many people that come to our community that just come here to start a business. They have no ties here, no family here. They recognize we have a great quality of life, a quality of place. I'm going to start a business here. But sometimes they just need a little extra help to indeed get there. And then also find ways to work with them. They're going to build a building with our building inspection department to kind of fast-track things to get them where they need to be a little bit quicker.
Thank you. Beth Dawson.
Do you mind quickly repeating the very first part of the question?
As a 20-something, jobs are hard to come by. How can we compete with our neighbors in the Triangle who have high-tech, well-paying jobs? Why can't Wilmington get a piece of that pie? What are three specific job creators that you would bring to this community?
Well, I think that generally is a question about how do we recruit and retain businesses, encourage entrepreneurship, whether you're 20 or you're 60 or anywhere in between. Our county leaders must promote and maintain a pro-business atmosphere. And in order to recruit businesses to come here because of things we've already discussed, our quality of life and that type of thing, I think strategic planning with the variety, the various economic development organizations that are in our community, and there are several, and we've all talked about them, and everyone has a separate idea of things they want to focus on to bring business. So I think, first of all, a strategic plan working with partnerships, with private sector business involvement to come up with the plan that we need to recruit and retain business. First of all, I think it's important and imperative to promote responsible growth for business. We first of all need to invest in our infrastructure, and we need to offer the ability for responsible growth, but with efficient and effective regulatory measures. The infrastructure, strategic planning, and just encouraging investment in our education system and promoting the job training and job retraining programs such as our community college offers, investment in the classroom. Priority should be funding and in the classroom for our teachers and our students in K-12. So you have to educate these future leaders, those that have jobs in the central part of the state. I think they're going to come here because they like our quality of life. We just need to be able to offer businesses that are compatible with our coastal environment
Time.
For them to have a job.
Thank you. Derek Hickey.
Sure, I agree this question is probably best answered on, you know, how do you promote economic development in general? Now, I feel for this, listener, since we're on the radio, because, although in the overall unemployment rate, as mentioned earlier, is 9.4%, I think, in New Hanover County, I do know nationally, and I have no reason to believe that locally it's any different, that the unemployment rate among 20-somethings is two or three times that unemployment rate. So as our economy slowly gets back on its feet, you know, these young people who are just getting out of college, well, they've been left behind. They can't find good jobs. And it's not isolated to Wilmington. This is a national problem. So how does New Hanover County promote economic development? Well, it starts out by putting up the welcome mat or welcome sign. We want good businesses to come to New Hanover County. And we also want good businesses to stay in New Hanover County. We need to, again, ask businesses, what can local government do to get you to grow your business? I was sitting at the pool this summer with a friend of mine who's an executive at PPD, and I asked him that question. I said, you know, PPD started here with Fred Eshelman, and Fred Eshelman has ties to the Wilmington area. But PPD is no longer owned by Fred Eshelman. It's owned by private equity. and they're going to go where they can make the most money. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, I don't think anyone's ever asked PPD, what does PPD need to be successful? So, again, we have to keep low taxes, you know, a reasonable regulatory environment, and a forward-thinking regulatory environment so that businesses know what the regulations are going to be and don't feel that, again, at the 11th hour, bureaucrats are going to change the rules.
Thank you. Robert Murray?
I feel for them. I really do. I've seen a lot of people out there that can't find jobs and that they're looking for them. What can we do for them? We have to try to attract industry. We have to do what we can. There, again, it's kind of a agreement to go through the board that we have to, the panel that we have sitting here, that we have to do what we can to attract different industries in here, different businesses in here, and different types in here, different types of businesses and areas that businesses are in. We do need to diversify a little bit on what businesses we try to attract, maybe. Maybe we need to, you know, kind of give what you might say an entry-level job to get started with and get people in there and get them. Most people ask, what kind of history do you have, and you can't get them in there. And they don't have a job history because they haven't been able to find a job. But what we need to do is make it, I guess you would say, attractive to different industries, try to get it to a point to where they look at it and say, hey, yeah, I like the area, and I like the incentives, and, yeah, we're going to move down in there. And let's go down in there, and we'll start creating jobs. So that's one of the things we need to do. We need to make it attractive for the businesses to move here and people to start businesses here and people to keep those businesses going.
Thank you. Woody White?
Rachel, the listener's question, three specific job creators. I don't have three, but I have one. And it's a good opportunity to really talk about what this election for county commission is all about. This year, this November, with these panelists here with a new board. More than anything, what's going to help industry in this area, what's going to help people looking at bringing jobs here in this area, is toning down the shrill nature of our discourse that we've heard the last couple of years, restoring confidence in our county government, providing leadership. Now, those aren't job creators necessarily, but they're indirectly why folks might not be looking here. It's unacceptable, on whether it's baseball or whatever it might be, that our county government can't sit down other than having breakfast at a well-contrived and choreographed photo op with our city council members. They ought to have dialogue all the time. Their staff ought to be told. It's unacceptable to fight and compete with each other. And that leadership starts at the top. And I submit that all seven, two of which are here tonight, of our city council and all of our county commissions, probably members, would agree with that. The leadership starts at the top. Tell the staff to find ways to work together. Stop trying to find ways to divide us. Now, is that going to create jobs? In the long term, RTP has been successful with speaking at one voice and grabbing a global share of a labor force. They haven't done it by arguing and screaming and getting up at the table because an apartment complex is rezoned and said, you know what, we're not going to talk to you anymore. They've maintained dialogue throughout the years consistent with strategic planning, and that's what this election is all about, leadership.
Thank you. Rob Zappel.
I think that our 20-year-old questioner here, the job creation actually starts many years before that. And for me, in my mind, it starts back with Smart Start and More at Four, and investing heavily into our education of our youth and all the way through. That includes all the strong support for the K-12 public school education, and then from there, investing into our Cape Fear Community College. And then additionally into the UNCW, because the concept here is a better educated workforce helps businesses find the qualified people and qualified employees that they need to make their business better. The better the businesses do, the better that the economy goes, the more jobs there are there. So it starts
when our kids are 3 and 4 and following that through and takes the support of the community all the way through that. And I say this that because I believe that universities can be great drivers of economic growth as well. And we only need to look at what's right here in North Carolina, up at the Research Triangle Park, where you have 3 institutions. You have, you know, Duke, UNC, and NC State there that have combined with the companies, the private companies in the Research Triangle Park to bring us new products and new ideas. I think we've got the beginnings of that right here in New Hanover County with UNCW, that we can develop the same kind of research, development, and commercialization programs right here. And we already have the beginning of it with the Mar Bionics project that's happening right now through the Marine Technology Department of UNCW, where they've partnered with private, federal, and UNCW to bring new ideas, new biotechnological drugs from discovery to research to development, all the way through up to commercialization. That's forward thinking.
Thank you. And with that, it's 8:01, so I'll turn the proceedings back over to Julie Martin.
Thank you, Rachel. First of all, I want to thank you all in the audience for coming out tonight and showing the confidence in your community to learn more about the people who are running for the Board of Commissioners. I want to thank the candidates for coming and so thoughtfully answering the questions. I want to thank Tricia and Vicki for coming and participating tonight, and I want to thank Rachel Hilburn and WHQR for all the hard work they've put into putting this event on tonight. One last thing is you got a little card in your seat directing you to participate in a survey that we have on our website. Please go in and answer that. That will help us learn more about you and improve the quality of our events here at WHQR. So, again, thank you all very much tonight, and I hope you have a wonderful evening, and go out and vote on November the 6th.